Let's open your Bible once again to Revelation chapter 17. And at this time, we want to teach the next part of a series entitled The False World Church, or the Apostate World Church. Here in Revelation chapter 17, and in verses 1 through 7, the Word of God says this: "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns." That's reading Revelation 17, verses 1 through 7. I'd like to have each head bowed once again, please, and each eye closed. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask Brother Donald Crash if he'd lead us. As we stated in the weeks prior, here in Revelation chapter 17 is set before us the false world church, or the apostate world church, headed up under Rome. Someone might say, "Preacher, if this involves the Roman Catholic Church, then why is she called Babylon in verse number 5? She is called Babylon in verse number 5 because Romanism is just another form of Babylonianism. The religion found in the Roman Catholic Church is actually the religion of Babylon. In the weeks prior, we stated that we were going to go back and deal with the beginning of Babylon as recorded in Genesis chapters 10 and 11. This we've already done. We stated that we were going to trace Babylonianism through the scriptures till we come back here to Revelation 17. And then we were going to deal with these particular verses in this chapter. In the weeks prior, we have already dealt with Babylonianism from the Old Testament scriptures. We've also dealt with Babylonianism some from the New Testament scriptures. For we have already finished dealing with Revelation chapters 2 and 3 concerning this matter. It was last week that we moved and began dealing with Revelation chapter number 17. Here in Revelation 17, this false world church is set before us. As we begin dealing with this particular chapter, I stated that this chapter can be looked at as follows. First, in verses 1 through 6, we have the system exposed. The system exposed. Second, in verses 7 through 15, the secret is explained. And then third, in verses 16 through 18, the system is extinguished. The system is extinguished. Now, just as books in the Bible have
a key chapter. You'll find that chapters in the Bible have a key verse. Now, the key verse for this particular chapter is verse number 1. Let's read it once again at this time. Revelation 17 and verse number 1. Here in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of a great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Here is the key verse in this particular chapter. This verse tells us the subject of this chapter. This verse tells us the theme of this chapter. This verse tells us what this chapter is setting before us. This verse tells us that the theme or subject of this chapter is the judgment of the great whore, or the judgment of this false world church. Judgment is a solemn subject. Last week I stated that there is little mention in the book of the Revelation concerning the subject of love. Love is not talked about much in this book of the Bible, but there is much said concerning wrath. As a matter of fact, the word wrath is used 13 times in this particular book. 13 in the Word of God is a numerical number for apostasy and rebellion. And my friend, you can mark it down, those that reject Jesus Christ and rebel against God will one day encounter the wrath of a thrice holy God.
Amen.
This book is weighted down with judgment. The words judge and judgment in their various forms are found 15 times in this particular book. This is a book weighted down with judgment. I stated this last week, and I'm going to say it again tonight. In Revelation chapter 6, the tribulation period begins. And we find that it ends in Revelation chapter 19. Therefore, 14 chapters in this particular book deal with Daniel's 70th week. Or in other words, the tribulation period. And the Word of God tells us that this, the tribulation period is going to be a time of judgment. It's going to be a time of wrath. It's going to be a time of destruction and distress and darkness.
Right.
And since 14 chapters in this book deal with this period, we find that this book must be weighted down with judgment. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 1, now remember, in this chapter, the tribulation period begins. In Revelation 6 and verse 1, the Word of God said, "And I saw, when the Lamb opened, one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder." Thunder is used 19 times in the Bible, 16 times in the Old Testament, 3 times in the New. Thunder in the Scriptures always speaks of judgment. And we find that this word judgment here, the word thunder here, tells us about a coming time of judgment. It's speaking about Daniel's 70th week, a time of judgment. Today, when we hear thunder, we think about a coming storm.
Right.
And when we think about a storm, we think about a dark time. And my friend, the tribulation period is going to be a dark time. It's going to be the darkest period in human history.
Right.
It's going to be the darkest time that this world has ever experienced or will ever experience. That's what the Lord Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 21 and verse number 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. The same thing he told us in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1. We read it last week. The same thing is stated in Joel chapter 2 and verse number 2. Now, I didn't read this verse last week, but I'll read it tonight. Mark chapter number 13. In Mark chapter number 13 and in verse number 19, the Word of God says this: "For in those days," this is having reference to the tribulation, "for in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be." My friend, it will be a time of unequal distress. Most certainly it will be a time of unprecedented trouble. This world has never experienced a time such as this. Nor will it ever. So we find that the book of Revelation deals and is heavily weighted down with judgment. And right then, this false world church is going to be judged during this particular time. This apostate world church that is dealt with here in this chapter is going to be judged during the tribulation period. Now, here in Revelation chapter 17, we read about Babylon. This is not the first time that Babylon is talked about in the book of the Revelation. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8. The Word of God says this: "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon." Now the word Babylon is used 280 times in the Bible. The word Babylon is only used 12 times in the New Testament. Babylon is spoken of more often in the Word of God, more often than any other city except Jerusalem. Here in verse 8, the Word of God says, "And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon." Now the first time that Babylon is mentioned in the book of the Revelation is right here, in Revelation 14 and verse 8. I believe it is interesting to note this. The word Babylon is only used 6 times in the book of the Revelation. Only 6. 6 in the Word of God is a numerical number for man. And the number 6 is also associated in the Word of God with the devil. And my friend, if we read the book of the Revelation, we find that Babylon, during the tribulation period, will be associated with the Antichrist, who will be the devil man.
Right.
The devil in flesh. Babylon is mentioned 6 times in this particular book. Now notice verse 8. "And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen." Here we find the term "is fallen" used twice. Here the Word of God speaks as though Babylon is aiming for a double portion of divine judgment. And she is. She experiences a double portion of divine judgment. And this is described for us in detail later in the book of the Revelation. But notice something else here in verse 8. Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Here in verse 8, the Word of God speaks as though the overthrow of Babylon or the downfall of Babylon has already occurred at this particular time. Although we know that it occurs at a later time during the tribulation period. But here it's spoken of as already occurring. You say, "Preacher, what are you getting at?" I'm getting at this. Here is what we call in the Word of God a prophetic perfect. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" That has to do with this. It's when God speaks of a future event as though it is already transpired. My friend, listen. With God, it's as good as done.
Amen.
With God, Babylon, her judgment, her downfall, her overthrow, is just as good as done. It's going to happen just as sure as if it had already happened.
Amen.
Here we have a preliminary announcement of Babylon's judgment. Here in verse 8, we have a prophetic glimpse of that which is described for us in Revelation chapter 17. For here in this chapter, the subject of chapter 17 is the judgment of the great whore. The judgment of the great whore. Now notice verse number 1. Here the Word of God says, "And there came one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, and talk with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." You'll notice in verse number 1 that John hears the expression, "Come hither." three times in the book of the Revelation.
John hears this expression.
Let's notice these. Turn your Bible, if you will, please, to Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Here in this verse, the Word of God says this. After this, he said, preacher, after what? After that which is described in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. After the church has run its course here upon this earth. After this, I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. The rapture takes place here in the opening verses of Revelation chapter number 4. After the church has run its course here upon this earth, this is foreshadowed for us here in these seven letters addressed to seven churches in chapters 2 and 3. After the church has run its course upon this earth, John says this is going to happen. After this, I looked and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up heaven. Here's the first time that expression is found in this particular book. Here John hears the expression, come up heaven. Now we'll say this. This could very well be the words that the Lord Jesus speaks when he descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. This could be the exact words that believers hear when the rapture takes place. The second time this expression is found is right here in Revelation chapter 17 and verse number 1. Now I want you to notice this. The first time John hears this expression in Revelation 4:1, it is mentioned in connection with a joyous event. With a joyous event. But we find that the next time John hears this expression here in chapter 17 and verse number 1, it's not in connection with joy, but it's in connection with judgment. For here the Word of God says, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Now John hears this expression once again. Turn your Bible to Revelation 21 and verse 9. Revelation 21 and verse 9. Here the Bible says, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. Here's the third time John hears this expression. Now the first time he's in connection with a joyous event. The second time he hears it, it's used in connection with judgment. But the third time here that John hears this expression, it is mentioned in connection with a jewel. I say this because notice the remaining part of verse 9. The Word of God says, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Here's a jewel. The bride, the Lamb's wife, the true church. She's a jewel. She's a jewel. So we find that John hears this expression three times in this particular book. Now let's notice again Revelation 17 and verse number 1. I want you to notice that here in verse number 1 we find the expression, the great whore. Notice verse number 5. The mother of harlots. Notice verse 15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest were the whore. So here we find these expressions, the grain whore, the mother of harlots, and the whore. Now listen, when we read about these terms and expressions in the Bible, it makes one think of lust.
It makes one think of lust. My friend, harlots are ruled by lust, not love.
Right.
Harlots know nothing about the love of God in Christ. All they know about is lust. And my friend, when we read Venus in this passage, dealing with this false world church, this tells us that this system is going to be a system of lust over the souls of men. It's going to be a system of lust, not love. The true church loves the souls of men. But this false world church is going to be a system of lust over the souls. Over the souls of men. Now notice further in verse number 1. Here the word of God says, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." Notice the word "great" is used there. "I will show unto thee the judgment of the great." Of the great whore. Now one of the things that this word "great" tells us here is that this is going to be a large system. This is going to be a huge system. This is going to be a big system. This is going to be a universal system. Now right here, I'm going to say this. I've made this statement before during this series, and I'm going to say it again, and I want you to listen carefully the remaining part of this time tonight. For I want you to clearly understand what is set before us here in this particular chapter. I've stated before during this series that there's no doubt that here this chapter involves a Roman Catholic Church. There's no doubt about that. Now I set this forth in three steps way back at the beginning of this series. I want to go over this once again just very briefly. Probably I need to do so. And then I'll go further and say some other things. In the New Testament, there are various symbols used to represent the true church. The true church, which is made up of those that's been saved by the grace of God. Those that's been born again. Those that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There are some various symbols used in the New Testament to represent the true church. Two of these is the symbol of a woman and the symbol of a city. The symbol of a woman is used in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and in verse number 2. During this passage, this symbol is used to represent the true church, the bride of Christ. Then the symbol of a city is used to represent the true church in Revelation 21, verses 9 and 10. We read verse 9 just a few moments ago. Now what I want you to notice is this. These same two symbols are used here in Revelation chapter number 17. The symbol of a woman is used in verse number 3. And then we find that the symbol of a city is used in verse number 18. So we find that these same two symbols are used. My friend, this tells us that this one that is set forth here is presented as a church. She's presented as a church. That's the first step. Let's notice the second step. Not only is she a church, but she is a universal church. Notice your Bible in verse 1. In verse number 1 of Revelation chapter 17, the Word of God tells us, the Word of God says, "And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." What is the many waters? Verse 15 tells us. Verse 15 says, And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the horse feathered, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. My friend, here is an expression used six times in the book of the Revelation. This expression denotes that which is global, that which is worldwide, that which is universal. This expression here in Revelation chapter number 17, verse 15, is speaking about the peoples of the earth. It has to do with that which is universal and worldwide. This, my friend, is telling us that here we have a church that is universal. Or in other words, a universal church is set before us here. Now, what does the word Catholic mean? It means universal. So here we have a universal or a Catholic church. That's the second step. Let's go to the third step. Here's a universal or Catholic church that is connected with a city. Notice verse 18. In Revelation chapter 17, and in verse 18, the Word of God says, the Word of God says this, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The city referred to in this passage is none other than Rome. Verse 9 proves this. We'll deal with verse 9 later. So here in this passage, we find a universal or a Catholic church connected with Rome. And when you put all three of the steps together, you have a Roman Catholic church.
Right.
A Roman Catholic church. There's no doubt in my mind that involved here in Revelation 70 is a Roman Catholic church. But you better note the word involved that I just used. I want you to note that, and I'll deal with that in just a few minutes. And I might say this as well while I'm dealing with the term, the Roman Catholic church. Have you noticed how that here in the United States of America, in the United States of America, the word Roman has just about been dropped? The majority of the time that people talk about the Roman Catholic Church today, they say the Catholic Church, the word Roman, has just about been dropped here in the U.S. Actually, the term the Catholic Church tells us the one consuming purpose of the Vatican. The one consuming purpose of the Vatican or the Roman Catholic Church is to make everyone a Catholic. Way back in the 1960s, the slogan of the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church here in the United States was, "Make America Catholic." Some folks in this building may remember that. The slogan of the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church here in the U.S. was "Make America Catholic." Not Christian. There's a difference.
Right. Amen.
Not Christian. But "Make America Catholic." That's their desire. So we find that there's no doubt that involved here in Revelation 17, involved here is a Roman Catholic Church. But listen closely. There's more involved here than the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today. There's more involved here than the Roman Catholic Church as we know it today. Let me tell you what's said before us here in this chapter. In just brief words, there's millions in this world today that profess Christianity. They profess Christianity, but they do not possess Christ.
That's right. Amen.
Therefore, they're lost.
Hey.
that you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. I said I was a Christian for 21 years before I ever became a Christian. Saying that you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian any more than pulling a wheelbarrow into a garage makes it an automobile. It takes the new birth to make one a Christian.
Amen.
It takes the new birth to have a new beginning.
Amen.
Last week we heard that the word born was used 8 times in John chapter number 3. Did you know that and Jesus Christ in that passage said to Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Right.
Did you know that the number 8 in the Bible is a numerical number for new beginning? My friend, a new beginning comes with the new birth and not until. It takes the new birth to make an individual a Christian. Many today speak the language. Many today render lip service. But that's all. They know not Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. We have many today that profess Christianity, but they deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That crowd's lost.
That's right. Amen.
We have many today that deny the power of the blood. That crowd is lost. They're religious, but they're lost.
Right.
Yeah. We have many today that deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're religious, but they're lost. Now when the Lord descends from heaven, descends from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, that's when the rapture takes place. And when the rapture takes place, the Lord is going to take His own out of this world. The rapture is going to be sudden. It's going to be secret. It's going to be satisfying. But it's also going to be selective. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I mean that everyone that professes Christianity is not going to be taken. Because those that just profess but do not possess Christ are going to be left behind. And this crowd that's left behind, this crowd that's left behind, they're religious. We find that they're going to get together. They're going to get together. There's going to be a big getting together. And that we are hearing a talk about this in the day that we live today. Let's get together. Let's get together. And there's going to be a getting together. And there's going to be one big world church.
Right.
What's set before us out here in Revelation 17 is a one world church headed up under Rome. And even in this day that we're living, the Roman Catholic Church has taken the lead. The Roman Catholic Church today has taken the lead in the ecumenical movement.
Right.
The Roman Catholic Church has taken the lead in bringing about a one world church. The National Council of Churches is working today to bring about a one world church. The World Council of Churches today is working to bring about a one world church. That's their desire. And my friend, set before us here in this chapter is a one world church. Remember, in verse number 1, the whore setteth upon many waters. And verse number 15 tells us that the many waters refers to the people of this world.
pay for this world. So therefore, the Word of God is telling us that this is a universal church.
All right, one world church. Some preachers down through the years have always liked to use the expression, attend the church of your choice. Always hate it.
Right, amen.
I never would tell a person that.
Amen, brother.
Attend the church of your choice. But did you know that the time is coming? The time is coming. The time is coming that expression, nobody will use it. You know why? There's only going to be one church. The one world church that's set before us here in Revelation 17. Right this day, liberal Protestants are moving closer and closer and closer together with the Roman Catholic Church.
That's right.
Today, we hear the word ecumenical used a lot. And Christians ought to know what that word means. Today, we hear the terms ecumenical church, ecumenical age, ecumenical spirit, ecumenical council, ecumenicist, ecumenical ministers. We hear the word being used in the vocabulary of religious leaders over and over and over again today. And my friend, right here, Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is where the ecumenical movement is headed.
That's right. Amen.
The ecumenical movement is working to bring about a one world church. The tongues movement is helping to bring about and forward this one world church.
That's right. Amen.
Certainly this is so. This one world church is going to be headed up under Rome. You know Pope John Paul II, while he was over here in the United States of America, I read an article, and this article said that he sees himself as a world's pastor. I wonder why he'd make a statement like that. I'll tell you why. He's got on his mind a one world church.
Right. Amen.
In 1984, he visited the World Council of Churches. Now, I might say that WCC, which is the initials of the World Council of Churches, actually stands for Wicked Chamber of Corruption. The National Council of Churches, the World Council of Churches, is just as hellish as the devil wants them.
Right.